And now, 88.9 and 96.5 brings you the Cradle and the Convert Ladies Edition with Catherine Smith and Sharon Shalosky as we bring you local issues with a Catholic perspective.
Welcome to the Cradle and the Convert Ladies Edition. I'm Sharon Shalosky, and Catherine Smith will be joining us here shortly with our interview. We've got Kim Robinson coming into the studio, and we can't wait to talk to her. She is the director of the Decatur House of Prayer. I know there's a lot of great things that have been happening and a lot of change that has taken place, and I think it's just a great opportunity to shed light on exactly what the House of Prayer is all about. I mean, we all need to pray, and sometimes we just don't know how or where to start. And I just know she's such an amazing person and, you know, such a solid, you know, woman of God. And she's just been instrumental in you know, a lot of my faith formation, I have to say. You know, just, you know, how people just hit you at a time when, you know, you just need that touch. She's been one of those people to me. So I can't wait to introduce her and, you know, chat with Catherine and just get this ball rolling, this party started. But, I have to say, since I'm here and all by myself, that I really want to thank the listeners for tuning in each week, whether it's Catherine and I or Dave and Mark. You know, we really appreciate all of the support we get from this community, and it's really a blessing to us. And, you know, it's a great way to bless others. It just comes around full circle. So, with that being said, I know that we've got a lot to talk about, and I appreciate you guys tuning in today to the Cradle and the Convert Ladies Edition. We'll be right back with Catherine and Kim.
Our family has spanned the centuries and the globe. With God's grace, we started hospitals to care for the sick. We established orphanages and help the poor. We are the largest charitable organization on the planet, bringing comfort to those in need. We educate more children than any other institution. We developed the scientific method and founded the college system. We defend the dignity of human life and uphold marriage. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are transformed by sacred scripture and sacred tradition, which have guided us for 2,000 years. We are the Catholic Church. With over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the sacraments and fullness of the Christian faith, Jesus started our church when he said to Peter, the first pope, "You are a rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." So if you've been away from the Catholic Church, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. We are Catholic. Welcome home.
Welcome back to WDCR, the Cradle and the
Convert. Welcome home.
Welcome back to WDCR, the Cradle and the Convert with Sharon and Catherine, the Ladies Edition. We are so excited today to have a guest in the studio with us talking about a wonderful new opportunity for Decatur. And we're going to relate that to some of the hard things that are happening in our community and maybe give you some strategies for people to deal with those hard things that happen in life, like job loss. So Sharon, tell us who we have here with us.
Well, I'm really excited to have Kim Robinson here in the studio with us today, because I just, there's so much going on with the Decatur House of Prayer, and she is just a mover and a shaker and such, you know, I don't want to make you, you know, feel nervous or too much, you know, on you.
No, like, pressure.
Yeah. Pressure. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. But you are just, to me, an amazing woman of God. I have seen you just, you know, on a personal level, you really changed my son, Max. You really inspired him a lot. And I think molded him when he was really young to be the prayer warrior that he is. And a lot of that came through, you know, the great banquet and being at the children's conference at Lampstand. And, you know, it's
lots of things going on.
I mean, I could really just keep talking, but
so tell us about the House of Prayer, because I asked when we first sat down, is this the same as the old House of Prayer that used to be here? And you said no. So give us a little welcome, by the way.
Okay.
And give us a little bit of background.
Thank you very much. And thanks, Sharon. Max is such a doll. It wasn't really me. It was God working through me. I want to, yes, you know, say that. But anyway, Decatur House of Prayer is an organization of people of all over Decatur and the surrounding area. We have people from Owiqua, Blue Mound that come. And we simply pray for others, and we worship God. So it's the two greatest commandments, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. So it's very simple. We have 2-hour sets, And it's a place where people can come and participate and pray to God and listen for his voice. Mm-hmm. And we have a sanctuary that we have christened and consecrated to be holy. So you know when you come there, people aren't going to talk. It's just going to be, it's like the Perpetual Adoration Chapel here. Mm-hmm. It's a place where you go to meet God and to communicate to him. And in this busy world, who doesn't need that?
Right.
You know, a place to go.
And let's be clear, it's ecumenical. So it's for every faith denomination.
Every faith, home church people, atheists. I mean, it is not a denomination. And that's the beauty of it, is that when you have all of those streams coming together in unity over one common thing, which is Jesus, the Holy Spirit falls, and it is just so powerful.
That is a wonderful opportunity for so many people. And in my mind, we as Catholics being WDCR, I think we're not very good at that. We're not real good at being ecumenical with other people sometime. And so I think it's very interesting for us to hear about an opportunity for us to, because we're all supposed to be disciples.
Yes.
In every, you know, the hands and feet of Jesus.
Yes.
And so I love hearing about that. Mm-hmm. So, but you have a grand opening coming up. There's a new place that you're going to be.
Yes. We just moved and finished remodeling 1920 North Oakland Avenue, which is right across from the cemetery on North Oakland. Mm. So we like to say we need a sign that says, you know, if you look left is the cemetery. So turn in now. Now's your chance.
Go the right way.
Go the right way. So it's 1920 North Oakland Avenue. We will start this Friday at 6 p.m. and we will pray and worship for 24 hours straight.
Wow.
Without any stopping. We're asking, the big exciting thing I have is that we have a cross wall. So we're inviting people to come and put up their cross on the cross wall. No matter, you know, whether it's a Catholic cross, Methodist, whatever cross it is, bring it, put it on our cross wall. And so we're excited to see how that goes.
So, you know, I hope that's a big wall and that it gets filled up.
Yes.
And that's my prayer.
Yes,
because I'm definitely going to be there.
Yes.
Which,
yes.
I mean, I know we all have so much to talk about and ask, but like one thing before I forget, you were talking about it's kind of like a perpetual adoration. So can anyone come in off the street at any time to
Absolutely.
Pray?
Absolutely. We presently are open Tuesdays and Thursdays from noon to 8 p.m.
Okay.
Our prayer, if God wills it, is that we'll go 24/7 because that would be so cool if you're a second shift person. You know, you get off at midnight, you could come, boom, into that house of prayer. But presently we're doing Tuesdays and Thursdays, noon to 8.
Okay.
And
And you're completely nonprofit, I would assume.
Yes, completely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're looking on the goodness of others to help you stay afloat, for
sure. Absolutely, as all ministries are.
Is there a way to make a donation?
Like, absolutely.
At the chapel?
You can make a donation there, or the easiest way is to go to our website, which is DecaturHOP.org.
Okay.
It's not IHOP. It's Decatur Hop.
It's Decatur Hop.
D-Hop.
Decatur Hop. Yeah, D-Hop. It's what we call it. Decatur House of Prayer. And there's a big donate button. So push on that thing a lot.
Wonderful. Well, one of the things why we wanted to bring you here, other than the beautiful opportunity of the new House of Prayer, is also there's been a heavy heart around here lately.
Yes.
And I don't think I've talked to one person who doesn't know somebody who's been touched by some of the job loss that's happening around the community. And, you know, I want to say on the other side of the coin, I know our community, our economic development and those type and the Midwest and LaPorte people and the city people are working very hard to create jobs here in Decatur. And there are a lot of jobs to be had, actually, but, you know, skilled workers and things like that. But it doesn't. I don't want to overshadow that by saying that it's hard. We've lost, I've heard so many different reports of how many jobs were cut just at Archer Daniel Midland. But I know personally a handful that lost their jobs, and people that you just, I don't think were expecting it. So it's one thing to kind of see the writing on the wall or be close to retirement age and, you know, be able to make that work. But there's a lot of people who are really struggling. And I think it's wonderful that there are opportunities out there to help counsel them from a job perspective. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I think of is what I want to say to people is, are you praying? Mm-hmm. Are you praying? And so I would like us to have a nice roundtable conversation today about what are prayer strategies when something like a job loss, especially when you're the breadwinner of a family, to be mm-hmm. crushed? Because that's what I've seen a couple times, is people who are the breadwinners and they are now not able, feeling like they're not able to provide. And that is just crushing. So what is the strategies? What do we do, you know, from a faith perspective? Yeah.
I think for me and what I have, if any little nugget that I have found, it is reading the Bible. Mm. It's praying those scriptures over and over again that tell us that God is our shield and defender. Mm. Hebrews 7:25 says that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for us 24 hours a day. Mm. Not just, you know, after the news or in the morning, right, but 24 hours a day. And so it's finding that peace there, mm-hmm. and that trust. And that's hard in this world because it tries to lead us away. And the second thing is to have that opportunity for change, that opportunity for something different, that when a door is closed, then that we would look upon an open door, mm-hmm. that could be, I believe, leading us closer to our destiny in God. Mm-hmm. And so those are a couple of things that prayer not only changes God's mind, but mostly it changes us.
Mm-hmm.
It gives us that peace.
Yeah.
It gives us that union, that communion with God. And that's really why we were all created.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the things that I've learned recently in my prayer life mm-hmm. is how to listen to God. I think that's really hard because we're, you know, especially in times of crisis, I think you go through prayer guilt. You're like, oh, right. I only come to you when something's wrong. You know what
like
I
he's
mean?
A Las Vegas guy.
Yeah, yeah. Like I'm going to pull
the chain.
And I think we have to realize that God is going, yes. You know, I heard a wonderful podcast about God uses cracked pots.
Yes.
And light comes through the cracks. But you have to crack.
Yes, you do.
And the other thing that always resonates with me that I've owned lately in my own personal faith life is God is not asking us to do anything that he hasn't done.
Right.
And mm-hmm. Jesus was sent here to be a human and to feel emotion. I mean, he wept when Lazarus died. He was not this happy-go-lucky, you know, Pollyanna man. He loved people and he also suffered loss. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there were times, because he lived off the faith and the goodwill of others, that he was hungry. You know, and that he was the weary one, and that he didn't feel he was providing for his apostles that were following him and things like that. So God's not asking us to walk any harder of a road than he has already walked.
No. And that's that opportunity.
Well, I think especially, you know, when you say that one door closes, another one opens, mm-hmm. people need to realize that. I mean, one thing that's really strengthened me and given me a lot of confidence in my faith is just, I pray like, Lord, just keep me on your path. I just want to be on your path. Go before me.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
I know that we suffer loss and, you know, a lot of stresses in life in so many different forms, but you know, you have to have that faith, because with that comes hope, you know?
Well, and I think it's okay to grieve. Mm-hmm. You know, somehow the world has this Pollyanna Disney world view that everybody's happy and everybody has all their problems figured out.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, you know, and so why pray to God?
Mm.
Well, really the reverse is true, is
Absolutely.
That we need him. And situations like a job loss helps to bring us, if you can get to that part. But also, cry,
mm-hmm.
grieve. He holds mm-hmm. every tear in a bottle,
mm-hmm.
name beloved, and he He calls us to that. And so let yourself grieve. Let yourself be mad. Let yourself say, yeah. Why did Dang this it. Happen to me?
Yeah.
You know, and he will answer, like you said, yeah. if you're listening.
Yeah, that listening part is hard. And I say my husband and I's word for the last couple of years of our life where we've had a lot of change has been surrender. Yes. You just have mm-hmm. to completely surrender. Yeah. And when you do, gosh, the amazing things that can happen are just incredible. I was looking up on the internet in preparation for our conversation of the five stages of that people go through after a loss of a job. And it's funny that they're the same five stages that people go through when they lose a loved one. And I think it's good for us to remind ourselves of what those are. So number one is denial. This can't be happening to me. And
or just, the why me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And why I think we have to remember a lot of people get stuck in a stage. So I know that some people I have known in my life who have gone through a traumatic situation like this, they get stuck in the denial part and they get numb and they don't do anything. So just realizing that you're in stage one and you will eventually get to the other stages. And then the next one is anger. Mm-hmm. So like you said, I think allow yourself to be angry.
Right.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. How can this be happening to me? Mm-hmm. You know,
and I'm sure people get stuck in that stage too. And they probably get stuck in all of the stages.
Yeah. And then they all combine.
Yes.
After a while, I would assume. And the third one is bargaining. Maybe if I had just done this, maybe if I had done that, maybe if, you know, and they even some people go back and try to figure out a way to save themselves. And that can cause a lot of strife too.
I'm sure that's where that prayer guilt comes in. That yeah. keeps resonating in my mind because it's like, gosh, if I would have been more faithful.
Or, right.
Yeah.
You know, if I would have been more prayerful or, you know, maybe
or
I should have gotten to work a little bit
something.
Earlier or something. Mm-hmm. You know, they think they did something.
Yeah,
wrong.
And then it leads to depression.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if that next job doesn't come along right away. I think, you know, enrolling for benefits that you've never had to take advantage of before can lead you down a big road of depression. That's just sad, you know, and sadness is overwhelming sometimes.
It is. And I, you know, when I heard you say that, I believe that's the need for community because we need each other.
Mm-hmm.
We need God, but we also need each other.
Mm-hmm.
We need people to lean on and to say, hey, you know, we're here for you. Whether it's, you know, it's that cup of cold water.
Mm.
Because Jesus, even at his time of death, said, if you can, Father, take this cup from me.
Yeah.
And he felt that very same thing that I'm sure so many people are feeling now. How am I going to feed my kids?
So as we relate all these stages to what people are going through and the strife that they have, okay, so let's go back to prayer and how some people that, God willing, may be listening, have never really prayed before. So what is prayer? And I was reading something the other day that Pope Francis was saying, the five-finger prayer of pray for, you know, there's five different things you can pray for, and I wish I could tell you what those are, but I haven't memorized that yet. But I think my point is everybody prays differently, and some people are silent. Some people pray out loud. For me, I sing at the top of my lungs when I'm praying my hardest. Do you know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes.
So everybody prays differently. So do you have any tactics for people that don't even know how to pray?
I think I would say that Our Father mm-hmm. is a great place to start
mm-hmm.
because it's easy to read, it's easy to understand, and you can just pray it, and it's actually just what he told in the Bible, said, pray the Our Father, you know, Our Father who art in heaven. So I think that's one thing. I believe just sitting and talking. People think prayer has to be fancy, holy, you mm-hmm. know. It's just simply as easy as, love you, Papa.
Mm-hmm. Or Jesus,
me.
I trust you.
Yes.
Or Jesus, take over. Like when
yes.
these negative, you know, arrows feel like they're just penetrating our all of our thoughts and our mind. Okay, so if someone comes to Decatur House of Prayer and maybe they just feeling a little bit lost, you know, we want to get the word out. Our mission at WDCR is to spread the good news.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives someone a place to go. Is there someone there that they could pray with?
Absolutely. We always have two people there. Yes,
okay.
We always have two people there. And we love it to pray for people. People come in fact, it's so funny. I'm an ex-CEO, so I'm so, you know, dogged in getting my work done. Well, I've decided on Tuesdays and Thursdays I can't get any sort of work done except for the kingdom work.
That is
which
work.
Is, yeah, which is praying for people. But I've had to change my whole mindset to it because, you know, I'm thinking, well, I'm not getting any of that done. But we truly are. So absolutely, there are people to pray with you. There's prayer books. There's the live worship from 4 to 8 on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And from 12 to 4, we have the web stream from the International House of Prayer in Kansas City.
Wow.
So it is a very holy, quiet place to come. And you can go and you can ask for prayer or you can just go in yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the beauty of it. It's not like people are going to bug you.
Well, like you said, it's been consecrated and blessed. I mean, you know, you just need to think that you're on holy ground.
Yes.
I think just to see the crosses on the wall, I can't wait to come. And then I can't wait to come back and see that because it's someone, you know, 90% of life is just showing up.
Yeah.
You know, be touched.
And at 1 o'clock on this Saturday, then we will have our ribbon cutting.
Wonderful.
So if you want the
Saturday the 12th.
Saturday the 12th. If you want pomp and circumstances, come at 1.
There you go. Well, as we do, I'm so thankful for you being here today.
Thanks for the invite. It's
been
great.
As we leave, would you say a little prayer for Decatur and all of those who are struggling?
Yeah, absolutely. Dear Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the glory of who you are and the glory of who you want us to be. So, Lord God, I ask that you would be with those people that have lost their jobs, be with their families in a tangible way. Let them feel your presence, God. And we pray for this community, Lord Jesus, that they would wrap their arms around these individuals as well, and they would feel your love. And we thank you for the opportunity that you give us to say, we trust you, we believe in you, and we thank you for who you are. God, you are our God, and we are your people. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for being here. And we'll be right back. This is WDCR, The Cradle and the Convert, with Sharon and Catherine, the Ladies Edition.
Does hope give light to your day?
1 Minute Monk, Abbot Placid Solari of Belmont Abbey.
At the end of the long list of good works in his rule, St. Benedict finally gives the most important one. Never lose hope in God's mercy. Hope means that we bring the future, where Jesus already reigns as risen Lord and Savior, into the trials, fears, and discouragements of everyday life. Hope allows us to give a gentle reply to an angry outburst, to remain calm in the face of disappointments, to continue doing what we know we are supposed to do, even when the outcome seems fruitless. Hope allows us to turn over the results of our efforts to God, who will bring them to the completion he wills.
For your free copy of The Rule of Saint Benedict, visit oneminutemonk.com. oneminutemonk.com.
There are many places where the light of Jesus' resurrection does not shine. There is no place where it cannot shine in hope.
Welcome back to the Cradle and the Convert Ladies Edition. I have just enjoyed so much talking with Catherine and Kim today, and I just feel real blessed that we have such a strong, you know, faith community, and it's great just to hear about things that are going on where we can just show up and just, you know, feel Jesus's love, because I think that's really what the Decatur House of Prayer is all about. You know, there's no expectation. But, you know, that song was really perky. I think I needed to hear that. While I was listening to that, it just made me think about, you know, we just wrapped up the Decatur celebration. And boy, what a hot time in the summer in the city, you know, in our community. You know, it's just been, I think everything went smooth. It went great. And a lot of people had fun. There weren't really any issues. I know there was, you know, you hear about things, you know, beforehand, some, you know, issues that might be coming up, but I really felt such a strong, because I'm sitting here, I'm talking to Dave right now, and, you know, Catherine had to, everyone's got busy things going on, and unfortunately, she had to get going today, so the next half of the show, I'm going to be here talking with Dave, and I really can't wait to get his perspective on kind of what Kim and Catherine and I were talking about, because, you know, in light of that, there's always hope and faith that we find in our prayer life. You know, there really is kind of a darkness that comes with, you know, losing a job. And, you know, like Catherine was mentioning, the, you know, five stages of that loss. So, Dave, what would you like to share with that?
Well, thanks for inviting me to spend the second half of the show with you. I engineered the first half, and I always enjoy that. And with the busy schedules, I'm glad I can be here to help you out. You know, Sharon, it's interesting. During my time as a police officer, I served as a hostage negotiator, and I learned a lot about people in crisis, and I was able to talk to people that were considering suicide and different things like that. And one of the things they taught us in negotiator school is something called a double whammy. Mm-hmm. And the double whammy, it puts a person at high risk for suicidal thoughts or even an attempt at suicide, mm-hmm. or completed suicide, in that they have lost their job, and a lot of times that can cause family stress, and within a month or so, you can have problems in a marriage or a relationship, and that's the double whammy, the loss mm-hmm. of a job and the loss of a relationship. And when someone goes through something like that, they get to feeling very hopeless, that there's mm-hmm. nothing ahead for them. They don't see where they can get another job, and they get focused on the negative. And along with the hopelessness, then they feel helpless, that there's just no way anybody can help them, and that leads to despair. Mm-hmm. And, of course, despair is one of the leading problems, leading causes, I should say, of people that contemplate suicide. And one thing that people can do is, if you know someone who has had a problem, maybe lost a job, been in a relationship that's failed, and a combination of those two, is keep an eye on folks like that. It's just a good idea to be a